اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وبه نستعين وهو الخير المعين. ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين خاتم الأنبياء شفيع ذنوبنا طبيب نفوسنا حبيب قلوبنا حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وصلى الله على آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين سيما بقية الله في الأرضين ولعنة الله أعدائه من الأولين والآخرين. فقال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن الكريم: يا أيها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي. بر محمد وآله الصلوات. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A few minutes ago I was talking to Brother Zaman that alhamdulillah we had first 12 days of Muharram, very intensive lectures, a speech by Sheikh Asad Darsi, and there were lots of points which were like a taken and should have thought process on it. We need to have like a take a practical approach towards the speeches and the messages which we get during the majalis. Because just coming to the majlis, listen it and go home and don't do anything does not give it, like it's not very beneficial. So even if we can allocate the Thursday night program for these discussions, like the points were taken from those speeches, so we can see like how we can improve as a community and how we can move forward. And we should also encourage sisters to get involved in those discussions, because there are lots of questions they have in their mind, but they don't get opportunity to communicate those questions or get the answers. I'm not saying that I will be able to answer all the questions, but inshallah we can take those questions. If there is no answer, then I can go back to my teachers. And alhamdulillah, nowadays we have communications, very fast communications. We can use it for the, not for only chatting, but also to get like learn from the ulama and scholars who are in the different places. So it will be a very healthy discussion, and actually it will also be healthy in the community, that people have understanding intellectually and rational. For example, like this ayat which I recited, and you all have read this ayat and heard this ayat several times. This is the ayat of Surah Fajr, which is said that lots of Mufassireen says that this is in the shan of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, Abu Abdullah, Sayyid al-Shuhada. Allah Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. There is a grammatical thing which I want to talk and take the address from here. It says, إِلَى رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْزِيَّةً, means irja'i, come back towards your Lord. رَاضِيَةً مَرْزِيَةً, you are pleased with your Lord and your Lord is pleased with you. Here it says رَبِّكِ. Ki is a pronoun used for the female, مُؤَنَّث. And it is talking about, Brother Sayyid, you don't. So it's talking about Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Imam Hussain is muzakkar, it's male. How come this pronoun here is the ki is used? Mehdi Jan? Honey? You don't know? Jazari? You don't need the permission, Brother Aziz. Nafs mutmainna. Here says mutmainna, it has a te tanis, means te muannas, mutmainna. Nafs-e mutmainna. It is coming as a murakkab, as a female, and also, I forgot the word, when you add it, mazaf, mazafun ilayh.
Adjective.
So it becomes, when you have a mazaf, mazafun ilayh, it gives us kasra. Mutmainnati and tayatanis, which says, comes to the rabbiki. Here is nafs-e mutmainna. So see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing Imam Hussain alayhi salam. He is not saying, abadi, my slave, my bande. He's saying, nafs-e mutmainna. It means it has a stage. There are stages. For example, Amirul Mumineen alayhi salam says in Nahjul Balagha that don't bargain your soul for cheaper than the Jannat. Means Jannat is the least thing that you want to do, trade your soul. So what is the highest level then? Then it also says in the Holy Quran comes, Rizwanullah. The Raza Ilahi is the highest place. And you see the tafsir of this Rizwanullah Ilahi in Shab-e Ashur. When Imam Hussain salam turn off the candles and say, go away, if you are scared, if you are have a shame that I will see who is leaving me, I am turning off this candle. So leave me alone. Because they want to kill me, they have no fight with you. Even you give me some ahsan on me, that take my family members with you. And you have an excuse that you saved the family of Holy Prophet. I promise that you will get the Jannah. What did their reply was? What did they reply? We don't know what is Jannah. Living with you and dying with you is our Jannah. And it is very related to us. When we are coming to Marasim-e Aza and Majalis of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, our focus is to get the sawab. Have some tears so that Bibi Fatima will accept our attendance. No, brothers and sisters. Imam Hussain's sacrifice is not just for the tears and for the sawab. That is the least you are talking about. When you have children, right? You all have children. When your child takes fifth position in his class, you encourage him to say, okay, work a little bit harder so you get third position. Don't stay on fifth. This is good too, but come in the third, first, second, third. When he comes third, you encourage him to take first position. When someone is competing in a region, in a local city, you encourage him to go for the national competitions. You encourage him to go to international competitions. Why not, as a Shia, we should encourage ourselves to take more step to become the soldiers of Imam Hussain alayhi salam? Why not? Why not we take few more steps and become the reason of glad and pleasure for the heart of Imam Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha? Why not? So, let's go back. Usually, because it's my first like a speech or talk with you brothers and sisters in the month of Muharram, I have another question. What do you think, when did Imam Hussain decide to stand against Yazid? I've talked it about before, but let's see how many of you remember this thing. When did Imam Hussain decide to stand against Yazid? There's no right and wrong answers. Trust me. Get engaged. When Yazid sent the letter to Walid ibn Utbah to seek bayat, allegiance from Imam Hussain, if he doesn't, then kill him. And when he invited Imam Hussain in his castle, so Abdullah ibn Zubair was also invited. Abdullah ibn Zubair and Imam Hussain was walking towards the castle, and Abdullah ibn Zubair asked Imam Hussain that, what do you think? And Imam Hussain said, since Muawiyah had died and Yazid had become the caliph, he wants allegiance from us. And the same moment, Abdullah ibn Zubair decided not to go to castle, he moved to Makkah. But Imam Hussain went to the castle. So you are saying that when Yazid asked for the bayat, then Imam Hussain stood against Yazid, that I won't give you the bayat. How come you ask me the bayat, right? If Yazid was smart enough not to ask the bayat, so would Imam Hussain accept the Yazid's khilafat? So okay, because he didn't ask me the bayat, leave him alone, I don't, leave me alone. I am going to the Masjid of Holy Prophet, giving sermons, lectures. Is it like that? What do you think, Mujtaba? Imam Hussain said, okay, whatever you want to do, do. You want to lead the ummah, fine. Whatever you do, I have nothing to do with you. That's what we say, right? I have nothing to do with you, whatever you do. Everybody's coming to majlis, no problem. And if you say something that Amar bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy an Munkar, then you become bad guy. What do you think? If he had not asked for the bayat, do you have any clue? Like if someone comes from out of the Shia community and said, if Imam Yazid had not asked for the bayat, so would it be okay for Imam Hussain to leave Yazid and rule the country, rule the ummah? So what gives you the reason that Imam Hussain would not do this thing? Because we giving the reason that because since he asked the bayat, that's why Imam Hussain got upset. And then he said, okay, I'm not doing the bayat, I'm going to against him. So Imam Hussain was after the Khilafat then, you are saying. He was after the power because Muawiyah broke the agreement. He assigned Yazid as a Wali Ahad or the king. So Imam Hussain said, no, it's my turn. I will be the king. Okay, that's the afterwards, right? Before the Yazid become the Khalifa or king, even in the time of Muawiyah, when Muawiyah killed Hujr ibn Adi, Imam Hussain wrote a letter to Muawiyah. And he said, because I am abided by the agreement of my brother, and I think that it become a sin for me to stay quiet against your atrocities against the Mu'mineen, the followers of the Amirul Mu'mineen, that you are attacking village after village, you are killing the companions of the Holy Prophet. And he warned that I will rise against you. It's not just Yazid become the Caliph. No. Imam Hussain was ready. He was preparing to stand up, to rise against even the Muawiyah. But yes, he was bound with the agreement of the Muawiyah. Muawiyah had broken the agreement long time ago. It's not just like when he was dying, he made him Khalifa. No. Years before he made Wali Ahad, and Imam Hussain wrote the letter that you are not allowed to assign Wali Ahad. Leave it to the Ummah. They will choose their Khalifa. So it is a wrong impression that when he ask the bayat, then Imam Hussain said, oh no, he's asking me bayat, I am leaving. No. That was the time that Imam Hussain had already decided that I have no agreement on my head or my neck which I have to follow. So dear brothers and sisters, again, Imam Hussain took the path which he knew that what's going to happen. Yes, for him, the priority was to establish the Islamic government, because having Islamic government gives the authority and the flexibility and the power to lead the ummah in the right direction. The ummah which was distracted for 25 years in other khilafat. Yes, Islam, hukumat Islami, the government, Islamic government is very necessary. But Imam Hussein knew that it's not going to happen. Yes, this is my first try, but it's not going to happen. Why? Because the way I see the ummah, this ummah is just like in the words of Marx, Karl Marx, that this religion is a fume, opium. It makes the people sleep. Because he studied different religions. He did not study Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Okay. You see, if you take the life of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam and his battles, it's a very great contribution of Amirul Mu'mineen, what he did against the kuffar and mushrikeen. There's no doubt. It was a great help for Holy Prophet when he killed Marhab, Umar bin Abdulwad, Utbah, Sheba, right? Abtal, those kuffar. But you, when you read those stories, when you read those waqiyat, it does not encourage you to sacrifice anything. You see, yeah, my Mawla was so brave, so powerful, so strong. He has the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He broke the gate of the Khaybar with his hand and he lifted it up. He killed Marhab, Antar, Umar bin Abdulwad, all these people. He was the victorious. Okay, then what? Yes, inshallah, I will be like Amirul Mu'mineen. Follow him in the battleground. Fight like him. Right? Full strength. But when you hear the story and the event of Karbala, Imam Hussein, then you feel your something comes in from inside that you are ready to sacrifice everything. You are ready to sacrifice everything. Imam Khomeini rightly said that this is the month of Muharram and Safar, which give life to Islam. He said, you see people like they are champion in their city, in their village or in their country. Their impact is temporarily. But look at Imam Hussein. What he did, nobody could understand at that time. But he is nourishing the insaniyat up to the qiyamat. But what is in the qurbani sacrifice of Imam Hussein as salam? Look, when you want to sacrifice something, for example, you want to sacrifice your money, you want to sacrifice any materialistic thing against some any other thing, but your life is very precious. You do not sacrifice your life for anything except a thing or anything which is you love the most, or something you have a good understanding that is higher than you. When I love, for example, I love my one of the son, and I love very much, or my children, and if I see if they are in a danger, I will put my life in danger to save them, because I love my children. But will I do the same thing for everyone? Practically, no. I will try to save, but I will not compromise my life. Or I will sacrifice my life something which is very higher. For example, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, because I love him most, and he is way higher. Right? For Imam Hussein alayhi salam, what was it to sacrifice not only his life, the life of his children, companions, brothers, And not only the lives, the hijab of ladies of the family of Holy Prophet, that he's ready to sacrifice everything. What was that? The two things from his sermons it comes out. One is the Islah, the reformation of the community of Holy Prophet, Ummat-e-Jaddi. Islahi Ummat-e-Jaddi. I want to reform the community of my grandfather. Second, I want to save the deen of my nana. Going to protect the deen, religion. Why? Because if the deen survives, if the deen is in place, if it is protected, it will protect the humanity. Because today, we talk about the humanity and all this self-identification, self-centered, nothing is above you, you are the only one. But no, deen is teaching you, because deen is provided by one who created us. And he said, I know you better. I will define you and the human values in the form of the deen, the religion. If you follow the religion, your worldly life be better and the hereafter too. So this deen is very important for Imam Hussain. So we should ask Imam Hussain, Mawla, everybody was praying. Even those who were your killers, they were praying too. Even they fast after killing you. See how much practical Muslims were there. People were coming to Hajj. And not only that, they understood your position. When they saw you in Makkah, they said, this Hajj will be Hajj Muqarrib, Maqbool. It will be Hajj Akbar. But what happened? When you were leaving, changing your Hajj from Umrah, nobody come after with you. Because why? Because it's none of my business. We do the same thing. None of my business. Whatever it happens in Palestine, it happens none of my business. Whatever it happens in Bahrain, it's none of my business. What happens in Iraq, Syria, Saudi Arabia, none of my business. Right? It's what's happening under our nose with our children. None of my business. Why my children are safe? Fine. I'm okay. I don't care. Children of my other brother Mumineen. I don't come forward with the plan or anything. That how we need to discuss how we should protect our children. The coming generation. What is the practical Shiaism is? What is the practical approach towards the Ashura is? There was a one person, he was there, not Muslim, in Iran. He converted to Islam. He accepted majority of the people, the religion of majority. Then he realized that this deen is nothing. They don't talk about anything. There is no Amal bil Ma'ruf Nahi an Munkar. Then he went out, he studied and he saw Shias. He said, oh, Imam Hussain is there. So he read Imam Hussain, he read Imam Hussain, he loved Shia, he became Shia. But then he realized that they are also very rituals. They're just doing things with habit because they do it. Their forefathers did it, they are doing it. There is no connection between the current situation of the Muslims and the values which Imam Hussain alayhi salam gave in Karbala. Then he was fed up. And he went to one of the far village over there. Then the Mongols came. Genghis Khan and his army. Not Genghis Khan himself. So they came. So those villagers came to him that you are an educated person, very learned person. So you tell us what to do. He said, go and fight against them. He said, come on, these are Mongols. Nobody can fight with them. He said, then be ready for the humiliation. They said, no, they are not going to humiliate us if we talk about the agreement. We go and tell them we are surrendering, we don't want to fight. So they are not going to do anything. He said, okay, go and try. They went to the commander of the Mongol army. They said, okay, we don't want to fight, we are surrendering. Come to our village, you are welcome. So they came in. So they said, okay, bring us the food and all these things. They went, they provide the food, everything. When they were done, they said, okay, arrange the alcohol for us. They said, we are Muslim, we don't drink alcohol. He said, if you don't arrange the alcohol, then I'm going to kill you. So they came to that scholar again, that learned person, the Shia of that time. He said, okay, now they are asking for the alcohol. He said, don't worry. Even if you arrange the alcohol, they will ask for your women too. But this is what they are. So I told you in the beginning, they prepare for the humiliation. They will do all these things in front of your eyes. They said, no, you are too much. Okay, we're going to arrange alcohol because there is a Christian village. We're going to bring the alcohol from there. They brought the alcohol, they gave it. Then again, they came back. They said, okay, now we need something for the night. Then they came back to the scholar. That you are right. What should we do? He said, you were arranging everything for them. Now go and arrange this thing too. Fulfill their desire. He said, no, this is too much. We can't do this. We are Muslim. We have some ghairat. He said, if you have a ghairat, then bring out whatever you have in your kitchen. And we're going to fight with that. And remember Imam Hussain alayhi salam. How did he fight? And then he gave the lecture about Karbala. They went out. They fought against the Mongols. Not only they pushed them back out of their village, they started pushing back into from the other villages too. And there was the point then they pushed back the Mongols to the north in Tabriz area. It was the lesson from Imam Hussain alayhi salam. The practical lesson that you, what Imam Hussain said, if you don't have a deen, think like a free man. Okay, don't talk about deen. If you don't have a deen, talk like a free man. You are not free. You are slave of your desires. And if I am also a slave of a desire today, whatever I talk about Imam Hussain alayhi salam, when the practical time comes, I will be in a different camp. I will not be with the Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Everything needs a practice. Where is my practice? We say that if you are not focusing in your salat, practice. You focus, try. Pray mustahab salat, 2 rakat salat, so that you have a practice to focus in salat. When you are fasting in Ramadan, you have a mustahab time for the fasting. The wiladat of Imam Masumin alayhi salam, Eid Ghadir, Eid Mubayla, you should fast that time too. So that Ramadan fasting will not be something new or something all of a sudden standing in front of you. So what about Imam Hussain's path? It also needs a practice. Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam says, please listen. Salli ala Muhammad. I started 10 after 8, right? Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam said that when my father was passing away, when he was poisoned and he was taking his last breath, he hugged me and told me, I am going to tell you something which my father Hussain ibn Ali told me before his shahadat. And you know, these are Imam Masumin alayhi salam. They are not like us, wasting time, wasting words. We don't know what we are talking. We don't know why are we wasting our time. Their life is calculated because they know the place of everything. And they are adil. They don't want to say something which is not appropriate. So Imam Sajjad said to Imam Baqir alayhi salam that he heard from Imam Hussain alayhi salam before his shahadat that follow the haq and be patient on haq although it is very difficult, it is very hard to be patient on haq. What is haq? I don't go in detail of tafsir of haq. Sometimes for the haq, you have to stand up against the zulm, against the someone who is mightier than you. Although you know that what's the result going to happen, you will be tortured to death. But you say it is haq, this is my imam said, I will do it. But sometimes it is the demand of the haq to sit down, don't stand up. Sometimes it is haq, demand of the haq, to speak out. But sometimes it is demand of the haq to be silent, quiet. And it will only happen when we have a control on our desire. Because sometimes I like to. Mera dil chaah raha hai mujhe karna hai. Mera dil chaah raha hai mujhe kehna hai. Mera dil chaah raha hai karna hai. Aur is dil chaahne se kya hota hai? We spoil our all amal. Because it was not done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see that we talk about that we need to have a khulus. But khulus itself is not enough. Intellect is also important. Intelligence and the rationalization is important with the khulus. I give you an example. Khawarij. Maybe do you know Khawarij? Who were the Khawarij? Khawarij were the people, the group of people who were fighting beside Imam Ali against the Muawiyah. But when they saw the Muawiyah brought the Quran on the spears for the agreement for the peace, they went against Imam Ali and took out the sword against Imam Ali. They bring back your army which was led by Malik Ashtar, otherwise we will kill you. Why? Because they were very mukhlis Muslims. They said, oh, fighting against Quran is haram. It was their khulus. But they don't have the intellect. It is the khulus of those Shia in the time of the Muslim bin Aqil, that when Muslim bin Aqil was saying they stand up against Ibn Ziyad, they said, no, we're going to wait for Imam Hussein. We are not following you. And what happened? It gave the opportunity to Ibn Ziyad. They have a rift. They are not united. Separate them. Muslim bin Aqil will be alone. Kill him. Again, these are the same Shia after the Shahadat of Imam Hussein. They decided to become the Tawabin without any permission from any Imam. And they took their decision on their own that we will getting Shahadat and then we will get the Tawbah, will be accepted. Who said that? You decided this path. Did Imam give you the permission for that? Who said that this is a shahadat, this is not halakat? This is himakat. We do the same thing. Why I do always say we do the same thing? Think about it, how we are living in this today's world. Few days ago, I got a video from the interior of Pakistan that they have a belcha matam. Matam with the shovel. Why? Because Bibi Zainab got the martyrdom. Somebody hit the shovel on her head. They are very mukhlis. And if I criticize, they say, Agha, what are you doing? They are mukhlis, they are doing matam. How do you know Imam Hussain was not accepting it? None of the Aima said that you do anything what you want to do in our name, whether it's a himakat, without any intellect. None of them. They give preference that whatever you do, do with the intellect. Be smart. Imam Amir al-Mu'minin says that our follower are smarter people. They will not be poisoned or the stung from the same hole twice. Hamara Shia hoshiyar hai, hoshmand hai. Ek surah se do dafa dasa nahi jata. Hoshiyar ho jata hai. हम बार बार डसे जा रहे हैं फिर वहीं पे ले जाके पांव रखते हैं कि दोबारा डसो May Allah give us the opportunity to follow the path of Imam Hussain as-Salam with intellect, and make us the include us or count us the in the companions of the Imam Hussain as-Salam. May Allah hasten the zuhur of appearance of Imam Zamana and give us the opportunity to be his companion in his army and give us the shahada under his flag. Please recite a Surah Fatiha for the marhumin, especially those three family members, those who lost their loved ones, especially Brother Nadeem, Brother Arshad, and Farhan. Barmahamdu alayhi salawat.